In the book of James, chapter number 1. Don't worry, we'll sing that song again on Easter. Amen. Amen. Sing all kinds of good songs. James, chapter number 1, verse number 19, we'll read verses 19 through 25. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Father in heaven, would you bless the reading of thy word? Encourage our hearts by the teaching. Help us to be rooted in you as we develop spiritually. In Jesus' name, amen. We often have occasion to observe a life that is spinning out of control. It may be out of control with things like anger, which we just read about, or wrath. Maybe it's lust, or a husband or wife may leave their family for someone else. Or a young adult may even leave the faith. What we see going on in that life is really not the real problem. The real problem lies beneath the surface where no onlooker can see. We see the fruit, but the problem is actually with the root. Since fruit makes known to us what is happening with the roots, it can be said that wherever there is a fruit problem, there is a root problem. We may see a man yelling at his wife. That's the fruit. But what drove him to be at that point? Something is going on underneath. The problem is with the root. Maybe you see a teenage girl who's all of a sudden she was a normal-looking teenage girl, but then the next time you see her, she's full of body piercings and tattoos all over her body. And there's something going on different there, isn't there? Something changed, right? I've seen someone like that at my work. All of a sudden, this girl came back, and she's got tattoos all over her chest and this kind of thing and body piercings. And what happened over the weekend, you know? And something happened. There's something underneath that's changed. What drove her to alter her appearance like this? Something is going underneath. There's a problem with the root. I think of the story of the Colorado State University. They made headlines in 2012 because a man dressed up as Joker and went into a theater and began to shoot all the people watching the Batman movie. Maybe you remember that headline that came out. And this young man was actually James Holmes. He was a brilliant 24-year-old neuroscience student. What changed to make him do that? During the trial, an officer was testifying from the witness stand. He began to get choked up as he began to recall how, as he entered the theater, he began to slip on the blood that was all over the floor in that theater. Investigations uncovered other bizarre behavior in his life as authorities found dozens of explosive devices in his 800-square-foot apartment. Now everybody in America, and especially the new pundits, attempted to uncover what was going on in the heart of Mr. Holmes that caused him to do something like this. That'd be unthinkable, unimaginable. It is commonly understood that this horrifying fruit problem is the indicator of a root problem that was going on. We see this in the very first murder of the world. We see where Cain killed his brother Abel. There was something going on underneath. right? It was, what we saw was simply the fruit that came from what was going on underneath. There was a serious root problem with Cain. He was filled with jealousy and anger and a desire to choose his own way. And so the root problem was made known by what? The fruit, what Cain did. So we saw that, but there was something going on that caused him to murder. So obviously this is not the fruit that we desire to have in our lives. We desire to hopefully be rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ so he could produce something great in our lives. So what precautions can we take in order that our fruit would abound? It would be fruit that would be pleasing unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we needed. But we got to be firmly planted in the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can develop spiritually. And that's what this whole thing is about. This whole topic we're talking about is personal spiritual development, developing as Christians the way God would want us to do. And I'm even surprised this week, in this last week, I've seen situations I've heard about in our church family where it seems like they were never rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. They begin to fall away and to fall into false doctrine. I've already heard these things already. And they weren't as rooted as they were supposed to be, this person that I'm thinking about. And they're already getting captured up into a false doctrine. So there was no real good a root system there, apparently, in this person. So Scripture clearly identifies Jesus Christ as the Logos, the living word. He's the living word. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So we need to get firmly rooted in the Word of God, not only in God's Word, but in Jesus Christ, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the Word. So it's two things there. You're getting rooted in God's Word, and you're getting rooted in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, which they're one and the same. Amen. He is the Word. So the Bible is the living Word of God, and Jesus is the living Word of God as well. And so there is no way to have an abiding, rooted relationship with Jesus Christ apart from knowing the Bible. You've got to know his word because he is the word. We've got to be grounded in his word. Would you look at Psalm 119, please? Keep a leaf there in James chapter 1 and then go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, right in the middle of your Bible. And we're going to look at verse 140. The Bible tells us, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." Amen. Oh, we should love his word because it's pure. It's like music to our ears. So Jesus spoke of the importance of becoming grounded in his word in John chapter number 8. Let's go to John chapter number 8. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 8. Is it still warm in here? Do we need to turn the air back on? Is everyone okay? Okay, it looks like everyone's shaking their head in the affirmative. Or they're okay. You're warm? It's a little warm. I think it feels warm to me. I mean, we'll turn it on for a little bit. Yeah, fans would be helpful too. Huh? Maybe we could turn those on, Brother Eddie. John chapter number 8. And let's look at verse number 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall," what's the words? "Make you free." Amen. We need to continue in his word. That is true freedom right there when we know the word of God. So you will recognize genuine disciples of Christ by their response to the word of God. Really, you will. If someone's genuine and they really want to be a disciple, they'll respond to what God is teaching them in the Word of God. The Word will speak against how we live, and then we'll make the appropriate change to it. Whatever we're doing, whatever thing we're doing in our life that may be against His Word, we'll respond to it if we are a true disciple of Christ. Do you humbly repent and submit Or do you become angry and continue in your ways when you get confronted by the word? You know, I don't care. I know it says that, but whatever. I'm just going to continue to do what I'm doing. That's how we know, really, truly, if we're a disciple, if we're following what his word says to do, and we're not trying to fight against what God is telling us to do. Psalm 19, please. Psalm 19. Mary, if you could help Rosie out, find those spots if you can, and that would be helpful. Yeah. One of the Marys, amen. I give her a hand. Psalm 19, verse number 7. The Bible says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, covering the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Look at all the benefits of the word of God. And so the wonderful word of God is perfect, it's sure, it's right, and it's pure. And so if you choose to continue in it, to be rooted and grounded in it, your life will produce completely different fruit than the fruit produced by the world, if you ground yourself in God's word. So how can we be rooted in God's word? Well, we're going to go back to our text in the book of James, and we'll look at what James tells us, how to be rooted in the word of God. James chapter number 1. We find we must be prepared to receive. Prepared to receive. Verse 19 of chapter 1. Once again, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift," quick to hear, "slow to speak, slow to wrath." Notice, "for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, because of that, lay apart all filthiness." I mean, that word is what it is. Amen. You can understand what filthiness is. filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. It means abundance, that word superfluity. It's a King James word. It just simply means in abundance. You think of super. It's a lot. It's abundant. And naughtiness, you know, that's wickedness. And so an abundance of wickedness. Let's just put it that way, right? "And receive with meekness the engrafted." You know, when someone gets engrafted with something, that's really inside of you. It becomes internal. And so he wants us to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So we need a spirit of receptivity. We need to be able to receive what God has for us. We need to have little antennas that receive the word. "Swift to hear" indicates that we are to have a spirit of receptivity. When you walk into church, you should be ready to receive. Amen. Before you got here, amen, you should be ready to receive. I always recommend you pray before you come in here. You're in your car, or you're on your way, pray. "God, I want to receive something from you today. Help me to receive what you have for me. Help my heart be right. Soften my heart. Speak to me. I want something from you. I'm here to receive something from you, God." Even the announcements, I'm going to be trying to listen in and try to receive something. The singing, I'm going to try to make sure my heart is being uplifted and I'm receiving the message and the song. In the fellowship, I'm trying to be encouraged by the fellowship. But ultimately, you want to hear from God's word, amen? And so you're praying to hear from God's word. Because what? I love the Bible. And so let me hear from you. I want to hear from you, God. Speak to my heart before you come. I guarantee you'll be more likely to leave change if you come willing, amen? You come willing to receive and what God wants from you. Every message is not going to be the best message you ever heard, you know? It's going to hurt you sometimes. It's going to make you laugh sometimes. Sometimes it won't. You know, probably this upcoming week, I probably won't have that many jokes. We're going to be talking about Jesus on the cross and stuff and preparing you for that resurrection. Amen. There may be a little some humor in there. Who knows? But be ready to receive what God would have for you. Or when you open your Bible at home, our spirit should be saying, I'm ready to hear. I'm here to get what I need from God. God, I need something. So even in your Bible time at home, we should be praying that God would open your heart to receive something. I need something, God. God, I want to stay in your word till I get something. And instead of checking the box, I read my proverb, read my psalm, read my little devotional, I'm done for today. You know, why don't we wait a little while sometimes to receive something? God, speak to my heart. I want you to speak to me about something, a phrase, a word, a line, a verse, something, before I leave for my devotional time. He says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, a similar phrase, or that phrase was spoken 8 times by the Lord Jesus Christ. That must be pretty important, huh? If he would say that over and over and over 8 times. He that hath ears, let him hear. Perhaps Jesus knew that humans' tendency to mentally wander off is we're prone to that. We're prone to just, even right now, you're like, what I got to do tonight? I got some in the crock pot. What I got going on? I got to catch my show. Did I DVR it? I don't know if I DVR'd it. Did I press record? I'm not sure if I did. Wait a minute. Oh, I got to be back in church. And so we wander. So we need to be listening. God wants us to hear. So our mind is prone to wander. There's a song about that too. We're prone to wander. But if we want to be rooted in Christ's word, we must choose to listen. We must listen. If you want to be rooted. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel was a child living in the temple under the tutelage of Eli. And he was the priest. And one night, Samuel woke from his sleep as he heard a voice. He ran into Eli's room and he said, "Yes, sir." Eli replied that it wasn't him who called Samuel. So this happened 2 more times. He kept going in there. He said, "Go back to bed. It wasn't me. Go lie down." Eli directed Samuel, "And it shall be, if he shall call thee, thou shalt say." He's telling him God's speaking to you. "And if God calls thee," he says, "thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." You know, listen for God. God's the one calling you. Eli knew that God often spoke directly to prophets in those days. He knew that. God spoke directly to people in those days. So Samuel, I want you to go back to bed. Wait for that voice that may come again. If you hear the voice, I want you to listen to it very carefully. Listen to what God is telling you. And that's the way we should come to church. Amen. The same way, like Samuel, listening. I want God to speak to me. Amen. Do you come with that? You know, I want God to speak to me. I'm listening. There's something in there for me. I know there's something in the message for me. Or do we wander? Or do we say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth"? I'm here to listen to what you say to me. There was a naturalist. He was a nature guy. They call him naturalist. And his friend, they were walking in a park in a large city. And the naturalist, of course, had studied many of the aspects of nature. He studied the plants, and he would study all the animals and insects and all those things. And so he said to his friend, he said, "Did you hear that? Did you hear that cricket?" The friend said, "What? What are you talking about? I don't hear any cricket. You know, there's cars going by. There's noise. It's honking. We're in a big city. What are you talking about? Can I hear the cricket?" He said, "Can't you hear it?" He said, "Well, you hear what you train yourself to hear." That's what he told him. He said, "I've been training for a long time, and I can hear crickets. Amen. I can hear them when they do the cricketing, whatever it's called." And so he said, "I'm going to show you an example." And so he took some change out of his pocket, and he threw it down, and it hit the concrete with ding, ding, all the coins and stuff. And then all the people turned around and looked to see if anybody was going to pick up the money. He said, "See, they've been trained to hear the noise of the coins, you know, when they drop." He said, "If it's important, you will train yourself to hear it." And so The ears of the people were trained for the money falling. But we need to train our ears to hear God's word, and he will help to strengthen us and give us the roots that we need in our life. In James 1:19, it continues to say, slow to speak. Notice this comes after he says, swift to hear, and then be slow to speak. When we are swift to hear God's word, we have something eternal and life-changing to speak to. When we speak without first being swift to hear, we often simply just share our own opinions, is what we're doing, which will have no eternal effect on the hearers. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Oh, we need to listen, amen? We need to listen more than we speak sometimes. One unknown author said, God gave us two ears, but only one mouth. Some people say that's because he wanted us to spend twice as much time listening as talking. Others claim it's because he knew listening was twice as hard as talking. Teachers and preachers especially need to be careful to hear God's word before they speak. Amen? Because we're going to be held accountable for what we say. And so we got to be careful. We've got to listen to God and what God wants us to do, and then be careful about speaking about that. James chapter 3. Look at James chapter 3. You should be in James. James chapter 3, verse number 1, says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Talking about those who are, over other people as far as, preachers and things of that nature. And so, there's a greater condemnation for those who speak, the word of God. They're going to be held accountable. I'm going to be held accountable for what I say. And so I need to be slow to speak and quick to hear. Slow to wrath is the final admonition of James chapter 1, verse number 19. Notice that. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Wrath speaks of deep resentment and inner hatred or an anger. In this case, it specifically refers to responding with wrath when we're confronted with truth. That's what it's talking about here. It's evident when someone gets angry when they hear scripture admonition that confronts their sin in their life, and they become angry about that. I'm not going to do that, right? I'm not going to change. That preacher, he's picking on me. That's why he said that. We hear that sometimes. You're preaching right at me, or you said that about me. No, that was the Holy Spirit. Amen, speaking to your heart. And the preacher wasn't trying to target you in the church. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 16, and I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth, the Bible says. I'm your enemy because I told you the truth of God's word. We do ourselves a great disservice when we become angry because the Bible speaks out against something in our lives that we need to work on. We're doing ourselves a great disservice, and it's going to stop us from growing the way he wants us to do spiritually. So when we are swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, we give God's word the opportunity to pull roots further into the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse number 21 in our text. We need a spirit of humility. A spirit of humility. Verse number 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So we need a spirit of humility. That's the second quality that prepares your heart to receive the word of God. And so a humble spirit will work in your heart, and it will allow you to confess things that need to be confessed, repent of things that need to be repented of. But that comes in humility, right? Coming down to the altar and praying requires humility. And what a blessing it's been lately. We've been having a lot of people using the altar and coming down and not being prideful and thinking, oh, who's looking at me? But just doing business with the Lord. And that's been a wonderful, wonderful thing. But that requires a bit of humility. So while many churches have at the close of the sermon an altar call, like we just talked about, or an invitation for people to come and confess things that God, the Holy Spirit, is working on in their heart or revealed to them in the message. Let's utilize that time, since we still have that. Amen. We still have an invitation. Some churches don't do them. And I'm a big proponent of them. I think we should. And I'm a big fan of the altar call. And so, what kind of attitude can we have in regards to this? Repent before the preaching. You ever thought about that? You know, tender you'll be if you already know your sin in most cases. And so, why don't we get that right before even the preaching time comes? And then you can just simply make that transaction with God. You can pray. You can say, as you're preparing for church in the morning, Lord, I need to have the seed of the word coming into my heart. So please show me anything that is not right in my heart right now. You can repent before you even get to church. Amen. Can you imagine? You know, reveal that to me before you even get to church. Reveal it to me. I want to change something. Reveal that. I want to take that to the throne right now. I will lay it aside so the seed of your word can sink deeply into my heart and make that change in my life. In verse 21, filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness speaks of moral sins and angry spirit and moral failure often walk side by side in the life of a person. So God commands us to lay aside all those sins, lay them aside for our own good so we can grow spiritually. When there is a covering of sin and there is a sinful environment over our hearts, the seed of God's word cannot go down into our hearts. When we're covering for sin and we're not confessing that sin, how can God's word penetrate your heart? It's not going to happen. Let's just face it. If we got a sin, I'm just holding on to that sin. How can God penetrate that crusty heart? Amen. You got a protective coating over it that God can't pierce through. And so we've got to remove that callousness, that coating over our heart, so that we can be one with God. Notice the second part of verse number 21, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. So engrafted means implanted. It signifies something sown, rooted, or implanted. So it has to be received. It has to be engrafted into your heart. I mean, that's like major surgery right there. You know, God putting that into your heart. And that's what we want. We want his word just engrafted in there. And so that we won't sin against him. Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter number 17, please. I'm going to keep you over 8 o'clock today. Amen. I want to get you the word here tonight. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, notice verse number 11. The Bible tells us speaking of the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind. That's a good thing. Be ready to receive the word of God. One of the most self-defeating thoughts you can entertain as you hear the preaching of God's word is, I've been there, done that. And sometimes we can check out when we've heard a verse or something like that over and over, and we've heard teaching on that, we can check out. Like, I've heard that before. I've heard that passage. But don't do that. God's word is so powerful. Don't check your mind out. Allow him to give you a fresh set of eyes, if you will, over that verse. Never let the word of God become old to you, because he won't be able to work. Amen. He won't be able to work in your heart. So if you ask him, they will not do their intended work in your life unless you, like the Bereans, receive the word of God. So we find in verse number 22, we need to have a planning to obey. So number one, prepare to receive. Number two, planning to obey. James chapter number 1 again, verse 22. If you're still with me, say amen. If you're tired, you want to go home, say nothing. Amen. All right, chapter 1, verse number 22. Read it. Let's read it one more time there. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Oh my goodness, we're deceiving ourselves. You know, we just hear it and we don't do anything. So to be rooted in Christ's word, we must do more than receive it. We must obey it. You can't just receive the word. I receive the word. I go to church. I receive it. I receive it. You've got to actually make this a part of your life. We must obey the word of God. We must obey it. So we must hear the word of God. So we're not just to hear without obeying. So did you know that not everybody who's under the sound of Bible reading or preaching of God's word actually hears? Some people just don't hear it at all. They could be under Bible teaching and preaching and not actually ever actually hear the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. See, there's people that don't hear. They're not listening because they turn their ears away from the truth. And it says, and shall be turned into fables. So that's speaking of people who say, I'm not going to go to a Bible-preaching church like Crossview Baptist Church that preach the Bible over there. I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm going to go where the preacher makes me feel good. I want to feel good about myself. Amen. How many want to feel good about themselves? Everybody does. That's your nature. We all do. We all want to be tickled a little bit. Oh, you made me feel so good. But that's not what we need. We need a kick in the pants. Amen. That's what we need. Every time you come to church, oh, I got kicked in the pants. Oh, he stepped on my foot. Oh, that's what we really need. Because we want our lives to be changed. And that's why these churches, Bible-believing churches, aren't filled with people. Because most people want to go feel good. They want a nice rub on the back that Joel Osteen will give them every Sunday. Amen. Make them feel good. I'm on my best life now. Right? This is what you want. I'm on my best life. Well, your best life now is to get right with God and put away your sin and your superfluity of naughtiness. That's how you'll have your best life now. And that's what God wants. He wants changed Christians. He doesn't want us just to feel good. He wants us to hear, amen, hear the word of God. Otherwise, we end up hearing fables that are not true. Mark 7, verse 16, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And by the way, as parents, it's our responsibility to make sure that our children hear what the Bible says. Hear it. But if we're not listening to the Bible and doing what it says, neither will our children. So we're sabotaging our children by us not listening to the word of God, hearing the word of God, obeying the word of God. How can we teach our children that if we're not doing it? We're sabotaging ourselves. In 2 Timothy 3:15, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was possibly the most famous Baptist preacher of all time. He probably written more sermons than and books than any other Baptist preacher in history. But he came from a godly heritage where he was taught the word of God as a little child. He was taught the word of God. That was the custom of the time. And so at age 6, Spurgeon read Pilgrim's Progress, and he was rooted in the word of God at a very young age. It was no accident that Charles Spurgeon was greatly used of God to preach every Sunday to 5,000 people and to shake two continents, Europe and North America, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But from an early age, his mother and father trained him in the word of God. Oh, we need to get back to that. Spurgeon wrote this. He said, I bear witness that children can understand the scriptures. For I am sure that when but a child, I could have discussed many a knotty point of controversial theology. He said, as a child, I could have talked about theology as a child. And soon as a child was capable of being lost It is capable of being saved, amen? As soon as a child can say, I'm lost, they can be saved, amen? We can have an Aiden and an Abel, amen, that we had get baptized. They can, as long as they know they're lost, they can be saved. It says here in Spurgeon's home, it was custom for the Bible to be read verse by verse every evening. And we can do the same too, amen? Guys, if you're the head of your household, we still need to read to our children. I know we probably can't do it as frequently as they did back then, but take time to get in the Word with our children. And then we find we need to obey the Word. It says, be a doer of the Word. We need to obey the Word of God. It means to be a performer of the Word of God, a performer. Think of that. So you get the Word of God and you perform it out. That's what you do. I learned that today. Let me go put that into action. That's what it is. That's a performer of the Word of God. And so don't just, I heard it, and then never perform it. Let it change you, amen? If we're talking about be slow to wrath, why don't we take that to heart and start trying to work on being slow to wrath, amen? That's what God would have us to do. Start putting these principles in your life. God wants us to be a performer of the Word. I want you to notice number 3, in verse number 23. We need to be persistent in study. Persistent in study. Verse number 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. That's kind of interesting, huh? You looked at yourself in the mirror and you went away and forgot what you looked like. That's the idea here. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, the perfect law of liberty is that book you have in your lap, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we prepare our hearts to receive God's word and we respond to his teaching, but what then? How can we be sure that the word of God will continue to influence our lives? Well, our text provides two answers to that. In verse 23, it tells us to remember the word. Remember the word instead of forgetting the word. Like the example that we gave of walking away and forgetting what you look like. No, remember the word and let it show specific areas that you need to change. That's what mirrors do. We ladies, even guys, we look in the mirror and we check out the flaws, right? What do I need to work on? You know, if you need to put on blush, you put on blush. If you need to put on eyeliner, you put on eyeliner. If you need to pop a pimple, you'll do it. Amen. Whatever the case may be, you check that thing out. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? And every time you find something to do, don't you? Amen. You'll find something wrong. We find the flaws. And that's what the Word of God is supposed to do. We're supposed to look in there like it's a mirror. And what are the flaws in my life? I need to get that. Oh, I need to fix that. Oh, I need to fix this over here in my life. It's a mirror, amen? It's a mirror. It's a reflection of what we need to do in our life. So remember the word. Then we find that we need to continue in the word, verse number 25. The word looketh in verse 25 denotes cautious consideration. Spiritually, it means we study the Word of God, we stay in the Word of God. That's what it means. We read it, we consider it, we meditate on it, then we continue in it. We do what it says. Read it, meditate, continue. Can you say that with me? Read it, meditate, continue. Amen. And continue in it. That's what he wants us to do. Joshua 1:8, we sang that song, this book of the law, so not depart out of our mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. You see, the world's idea of success is a lot different from God's idea of success, isn't it? Success in the world is like, climb the corporate ladder. I was hearing a lady at work today or this week, and she was talking about how she's really a failure in life because she's a janitor, basically. And she said, I don't want that for my kids. I'm a failure, you know. I don't want this for them. And I was thinking, well, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to be a janitor. But she really felt like she had not achieved anything. She hadn't gotten her GED, and she didn't finish high school, and she wanted her kid to do a lot better than she did. But she felt like a failure. She felt like she was not a success in this life. But God's idea is a lot different. The world has ideas of success. It may include promotions and popularity and driving a Ferrari, amen. That's success in the eyes of, well, I haven't seen any Ferraris in Tulare, but there's some nice cars here and there, right? But that, without the word of God, however, there's truly no success. You know that? I mean, according to Joshua 1:8, all success is tied into the word of God and being rooted in the word of God. That is true success in the eyes of God. And if we want to make a personal spiritual development something that can really happen in our life, we have got to get a hold of this idea of making the word of God preeminent in our lives. And so we need to have more than just hearing the word. We need to have some doing of the word. We need to be receptive and responsive to God's word. Prepare our hearts so the seed of the word can take root in your life. That's personal spiritual development. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for thy word. We pray, God, you'd help us here to make decisions for you, make a change to be rooted and grounded in your word, so that when someone comes and to us and says, you know what, well, there's no Trinity. There's no such thing as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'd be able to say, they're a liar, and I can point to you in the scriptures exactly what the word of God says. We need to be rooted and grounded in the word. Help us to do that as a people. Help us to make a change. Help us to not just be hearers, but swift doers of the word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.